It's insane to myself a couple weeks ago. I think I preached about every reference to Jesus' birth at least 5 or 6 times, and decided I wanted to spend some time looking at some of the prophecies that we rarely talk about. And so we're going to start this morning in Malachi chapter 3 and verse 1. I will send my messenger who will prepare the way before me. Then suddenly the Lord you are seeking will come to his temple. The messenger of the covenant whom you desire will come, says the Lord Almighty. Let's pray. Father, as we look at several of these Old Testament passages and how they're fulfilled in the life of Jesus, even in the birth of Jesus, Father, help us to realize what an incredible event the incarnation was. God coming to live with us. And Father, help us to see how clearly it is taught in your word. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, I don't think I've ever heard anybody preach a sermon in terms of the coming of Christ from Malachi chapter 3 or 4 for that matter. There are some very interesting things here, but we're very sure that this passage talks about Jesus because it is very clear that this is all about John and what he's going to do. And so we read in Matthew chapter 11, as John's disciples were leaving, Jesus began to speak to the crowd about John. What did you go out into the wilderness to see? A reed swayed by the wind? If not, what did you go out to see? A man dressed in fine clothes? No, those who wear fine clothes are in king's palaces. Then what did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I tell you. And more than a prophet, this is the one about whom it is written, I will send my messenger ahead of you who will prepare your way before you. And then a few verses later, Jesus adds, and if you are willing to accept it, he is the Elijah who was to come. And I find this whole passage fascinating because we don't talk about it much, but Jesus was so special that God sent someone to get people ready to listen to him. And of course, Jesus is so special that he had a very special birth, but the forerunner has one too. And he comes in the spirit and power of Elijah. And that prediction is also in Malachi. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And he will turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the hearts of the children to their fathers, lest I come and strike the earth with a curse. I've preached on this passage. I'm not going to do it this morning except to say that we have an incredible need right now in our nation for the hearts of the fathers to be turned to the children. The children will ordinarily respond, but the hearts of the fathers need to be turned to the children. We're raising a lot of angry children in our country today. And this passage is referred to by Gabriel when he talks to Zechariah about John. It is he who will go as a forerunner before him in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers back to the children. Now, he doesn't quote the second part of it. He says, and the disobedient to the attitude of the righteous, so as to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Notice how Gabriel weaves together part of Malachi 3, part of Malachi 4, to turn the hearts of the fathers back to the children, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. And there's another passage about John. A voice of one calling, in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be raised up, every mountain and hill made low. The rough ground shall become level, the rugged places a plain. And the glory of the Lord will be revealed, and all people will see it together. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken. You got to sort of understand the background for this. Most of the roads in that part of the world in that day, people walked. Occasionally, someone would ride a horse or a donkey. Maybe an ox cart with a couple oxen in front of it. But when royalty came, the roads had to be improved. Because they were going to come with a chariot and a couple horses or maybe something even more elaborate. And so someone would come into a town and he'd say, hey, the governor, the king, somebody's coming. Get out there and fix that road. There's no way they're going to come down that dirt path in what they're going to be riding in. And all the men in the village, they go out. They fill up all the potholes. They'd fill up all the valleys. They'd knock down the high spots so that someone really important could come. And have you ever thought about this? A voice of one calling, in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord. I never really noticed the in the wilderness part that much. And I looked it up in a couple translations and looked it up in the Greek. And it basically says, yeah, the message, prepare the way for the Lord, is going to come from somebody who's going to be talking in the wilderness. And it's sort of an interesting thing to put together. It's talking about making a highway like you do go into a village or a city. But the voice that's telling you to do that is going to be out in the wilderness. So in Matthew it says, in those days John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea. Now it's interesting. It says he's going to come. It says what he's going to do. And it says where he's going to preach. Preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near. This is he who was spoken of through the prophet Isaiah, a voice of one calling in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord, make straight paths for him. Now I want to look at all the gospel writers in terms of what they said about John. We talk about the Christmas story, but that's only in Matthew and Luke. John doesn't mention anything. He just says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Mark starts with the only thing that all four gospel writers mention first, and that's the ministry of John the Baptist. The beginning of the good news about Jesus the Messiah, the Son of God. As it is written in Isaiah the prophet, I will send my messenger ahead of you, who will prepare your way, a voice of one calling in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord, make straight paths for him. And Mark does what the other ones do. He puts Malachi and Isaiah together. Luke has this long introduction. And Luke is the one who says in the introduction, I want everything in consecutive order. I want you to know exactly what happened and in what order it happened. And he's liable to put all these names in there. In the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar, when Pontius Pilate was governor of Judea, Herod Tetrarch of Galilee, his brother Philip Tetrarch of Iturea and Trachonitis, and Lysanias Tetrarch of Abilene, during the high priesthood of Annas and Caiaphas, the word of God came to John, son of Zechariah, in the wilderness. as it is written in the book of the words of Isaiah the prophet, a voice of one calling in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord, make straight paths for him. Every valley shall be filled in, every mountain and hill made low. The crooked road shall become straight, the rough ways smooth, and all people will see God's salvation. Now, it's interesting, we don't do it this way, but the Jewish people, when they quoted scripture, they'd say, it's from this one, and then they'd throw something in from a couple other places. And that last phrase is from Isaiah 52:10. The Lord will lay bare his holy arm in the sight of all nations, and all the ends of the earth will see the salvation of our God. And even John said, that's who I am. Finally, they said, who are you? Give us an answer to take back to those who sent us. What do you say about yourself? John replied in the words of Isaiah the prophet, I am the voice of one calling in the wilderness. Make straight the way for the Lord. Now, did John do a good job? John had a commission. His commission was to come to a people and get them ready for Jesus. This is in Luke 7. John the Baptist is in prison awaiting execution. He's beginning to wonder, did I make a mistake here? Why hasn't Jesus got me out of this place? And Jesus starts talking about John, and then there's a parenthesis. All the people, even the tax collectors, when they heard Jesus' words, acknowledged that God's way was right because they had been baptized by John. But the Pharisees and the experts in the law rejected God's purpose for themselves because they had not been baptized by John. Luke divides the people into two broad categories, the ones who listened to John and they listened to Jesus. The ones who didn't listen to John, and they didn't listen to Jesus. Got asked about this passage last week, and it's really sort of interesting. This is the final week. Jesus is teaching in the temple and driving the leaders nuts. So one day as Jesus was teaching the people in the temple courts and proclaiming the good news, the chief priests and the teachers of the law, together with the elders, came up to him. Tell us by what authority you are doing these things, they said. You know, it'd be the rough equivalent of, who ordained you, and what church do you come from, and where do you go to school, and who gave you the right to stand up here and say all of these things like you're some authority? Who gave you the authority to do this? He replied, I will also ask you a question. Tell me, John's baptism, was it from heaven or of human origin? They discussed it among themselves and said, if we say from heaven, he will ask, why didn't you believe him? But if we say of human origin, all the people will stone us because they are persuaded that John was a prophet. And so they wimped out. And the next verse says, they said, we don't know. And Jesus said, well, then I'm not going to tell you who gave me my authority. John did an incredible job preparing the way for Jesus. When you talk to people who don't believe what the Bible says about Jesus. Jason and I had a fascinating conversation with an atheist a few days ago. They come up with this thing, and if you follow the Da Vinci Code stuff when it was out, this is the idea he was promoting, that, well, yeah, Jesus lived and he was a great man and all of that. And then years after he died, people started saying, well, maybe he was God and maybe he rose from the dead, but nobody right then and there really believed that. And at that time, I did some research, and I was just blown away by how much the scriptures talk about Jesus as being God from the very, very beginning. So let's start in Malachi chapter 3, and let's just look at what it says. Notice the pronouns. I will send my messenger who will prepare the way before me. So who sent John the Baptist? Jesus. Now think about that for a minute. Who was born first? John the Baptist was born 6 months before Jesus, if you follow Luke. So Jesus is speaking through the prophet Malachi, and he's saying, I am going to send my messenger who will prepare the way before me. You can't get a much clearer statement about who Jesus is than that. He's the one who was speaking through the prophet Malachi, and he was going to send John, although he hadn't been born yet. It talks about his preexistence. It talks about his deity. It talks about who he is. You go to that prophecy in Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 3. A voice of one calling in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord. Now, if you're not real familiar with the Old Testament, you'll know that they sort of ran out of good words to use to translate the names for God. So when they write Lord in all caps, like it is here, it's the name, the personal name of God. You used to say Jehovah. Now they think it was probably translated Yahweh. The Jews said it was so holy, and you shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. They said, hey, we're not going to take his name in vain. We're never going to say it aloud. So nobody spoke it for years. But what did Isaiah say? Prepare the way for Yahweh. Prepare the way for, the name really means the I am that I am. The eternally self-existent one. The one who always has been, who is, who always will be, and he can be trusted. Make straight in the desert a highway for who? Our God, Elohim, the name that's used to speak of God's creative power. A uniplural noun. It's plural and it takes a singular verb. The word used to describe what God did in Genesis 1. And the glory of the Lord will be revealed, and all the people will see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. This prophecy is coming from the Lord. Prepare the way for the Lord. It's very obvious. Jesus is the Lord. Matthew quotes it, a voice of one calling in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord, make straight paths for him. Mark starts out, Jesus, the Messiah, the Son of God. And then it says, prepare the way for the Lord. Luke says the same thing. And you look at what the angel told Zechariah in the temple. It is he who will go as a forerunner before him in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers back to the children, the disobedient to the attitude of the righteous, so as to make ready a people prepared, who? For the Lord, quoting Malachi. John, when they ask him, who are you? I'm the one who came to make straight the way for the Lord. Let's go back to Malachi 3 and look at it again. I will send my messenger who will prepare the way before me. Then suddenly the Lord you are seeking will come to his temple. Now, if you read Malachi chapter 3, it's got some stuff that's blended first and second coming. A lot of the Old Testament does that. But will Jesus suddenly come to his temple at the second coming? Well, the third temple, predicted by Daniel, is going to be taken over by the beast in the book of Revelation, and there's going to be a statue of the beast there, and everybody's going to be worshiping this false guy, and there's going to be a false prophet there doing miracles. And it doesn't say Jesus is going to suddenly show up there. It says Jesus is going to suddenly come to rescue the entire city of Jerusalem. It says that over and over again. But Jesus just suddenly walked into the temple twice while he was on earth and started throwing out the money changers and telling them not to do this and not to do that and not to do the other. Made a whip out of cords and drove them out of the temple courts and said, "You're turning my father's house into a den of thieves." He's quoting the Old Testament when he says that. Then suddenly the Lord you are seeking will come to his temple. Three primary words for God in the Old Testament: Elohim, Yahweh, and Adonai. And here's Adonai. This one is the one that Jesus quoted when they were trying to give him a hard time. And he said, "Well, the Messiah, whose son is he?" And they said, "David's son." And he said, "Then why did David say, Yahweh said to Adonai, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet?" Psalm 110:1. All three names for God are applied to Jesus in the Old Testament scriptures that predict he will come. Then suddenly the Lord you are seeking will come to his temple. The messenger of the covenant whom you desire will come, says the Lord Almighty. When we look at these prophecies, they're incredible. The Old Testament predicted that there would be someone who would come to prepare the way for Jesus, and that he would preach in the wilderness. And the New Testament says John effectively prepared the way for Jesus. Most of the people believed John was a prophet, the vast majority of them. And they knew that he said Jesus was the Messiah. John began his preaching ministry in the wilderness. Jesus said John was the fulfillment of the prophecy about Elijah coming. The angel Gabriel said John came in the spirit and power of Elijah. And the passages we looked at make it clear that the coming one was the one who sent the one who prepared the way for him. That's fascinating. The one who sent the way and who prepared the way for him. Isaiah 40 calls him both Lord and God. Claim repeated in the New Testament. Malachi calls him the Lord you are seeking, the messenger of the covenant whom you desire, and says he will come to his temple. Remember when Jesus cleaned out the temple? He said, "This is my Father's house. I have the right to tell you what to do here." They didn't like it much. Now, the coming of Jesus, when we talk about Christmas, is so incredibly important because of who he is. His coming was so important that someone was sent to prepare the way for him, and even some of the details of the ministry of the one who prepared the way for him were given in advance in Scripture. And when you read about Jesus coming in Luke, which probably gives us more detail than Matthew, although they focus on different aspects, you've got Jesus had to be virgin born because he was the Son of God. He was God the Son. But that's a miracle that people aren't going to believe. So the forerunner had to be born to a woman who was 60 years old and had been trying to get pregnant for probably 40 years and couldn't. And that was a miracle anyone could believe in. And then that child had to prepare the way for Jesus. Christmas is all about the creator of the universe, the creator of time, the creator of matter, stepped into what he created, became subject to the laws of nature he created, became subject to time and space constrictions. And I think probably Jesus will live in that body that he lived in on earth, resurrected, of course, for all of eternity. The Creator moved in with us so we could know God. And that's why we celebrate Christmas, because God came to live here with us. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. Lord, we thank you that it's so plain about who Jesus is, not just in the Gospel of John, but even in the Old Testament. You made it very plain that God was going to come and live among us. Father, help us. Help us at this time of year not to get too wrapped up in the side issues, but to remember it's about God coming to live with us. And we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ.